Isn't it good hearing stories of how God answers prayer? And sometimes our plans don't quite work out the way we think they will, but God is in control. We are looking at a series on healing here at this church. So if you're new here today and you're feeling like you've missed out on what we've covered so far, just to recap, we started off looking at a biblical basis for healing. We then looked at healing past hurts through forgiveness. And then last week, Gerald spoke in the morning at the healing of the nations. And in the evening, my wife Catherine spoke on holding on to God when he seems quiet. When you're praying for healing and it doesn't seem that those prayers are being answered in the way you want. Now, Catherine's actually going to do that talk next Sunday morning. So if you missed it last Sunday evening, you'll get to hear that talk next Sunday. I'm speaking today on the ultimate healing. Now, sometimes we'll see partial healing when we pray for people to be healed. As Christians, we believe the Bible does give us a mandate to pray for healing, to pray that the sick and the unwell would be healed. Sometimes that happens partially. Sometimes that happens incredibly in a full measure of healing. But the reality is, even if someone is partially or fully healed, the likelihood is they're going to get ill again. Or something else is going to cause suffering for them again. And so it's not really ultimate healing. So what, I wonder, is ultimate healing? We're going to explore that together this morning. I just want to start off by just setting out why we think it's worth exploring healing in the first place. And the reality is, particularly these days, we're fascinated with the physical body and our well-being. Someone commenting on the body said this: with nearly 2 square meters of temperature detecting, sensation reading skin, a pair of eyes, ears, I feel like I'm going to sing a song now, and a tongue, all keeping us in contact with our immediate environment, processed via a supercomputer, massive brain. We are acutely and permanently body conscious. Now, bodies are wonderful things, but they are also the source of most of our problems, and it is our bodily failings that often occupy our minds and our attention. Our bodies let us down consistently. Now, I'm speaking today on something that will happen to everyone here. Every single one of you will experience this. And it's one of the biggest taboos in our society today. It's something we rarely talk about, even in church. The only times I often speak about this is at a funeral. And that is, we're talking about death this morning. More than half of Britons in relationships today are unaware of their partner's end-of-life wishes, according to a survey by the Dying Matters Coalition. I wonder, do you know, if you're in a relationship, do you know your partner's end-of-life wishes? Is death something that you talk about? My guess, if you're like me, is no. We're obsessed in this culture, aren't we, of prolonging life. Eating healthier, exercising harder, doing things to reduce stress, anything to put off the inevitability of death. And yet we all know deep down death is going to come to each one of us. And none of us know when that's going to happen. Could be today. Could be next year. Who knows? Last week, I spoke to someone who has got an idea of when they might die, and they are suffering from an untreatable condition. I spoke to them after last week's morning service and just asked them how they felt about dying. It's not a question that we find very easy to ask people. But she honestly said, actually, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to dying. So, is death the ultimate healing? What kind of death are we talking about, though, when we say that? Are we talking about physical death? Because Christians believe in not just physical death, but a spiritual death. And we have probably all experienced a baptism service, whether personally or seeing someone else being baptized. Baptism is a symbol, it's a picture of death. We don't often talk about that. We're often celebrating the new life, but actually there's a death involved when people are baptized. They're symbolizing something that's going on the inside. Submersion under the water, symbolizing a spiritual death of our life controlled by sin. So, in one sense, death is an ultimate healing right now for anyone who decides to become a Christian. I wonder if you're sat here, whether you've made that decision. Have you made that decision to put your old life to death? Becoming a Christian is a death sentence. But the good news that we see in baptism is that people don't just stay under the water, they come up, and it's a picture of Jesus' death and resurrection. We get new life. The Bible talks about us being born again, and we come up out of the water alive in Jesus. So in one sense, death is the ultimate healing. Right here, right now, your eternal life can start now if you choose to follow Jesus. But of course, we're not just talking about spiritual death. We're talking this morning about physical death as well. We're talking about the death of our bodies. And death marks the end of suffering. Part of my job means I get to spend time with people who are grieving the loss of loved ones and taking their funerals. And a comment you often hear is, well, I'm just glad they're not suffering anymore. I'm just glad they're no longer suffering. So in some ways, death is a healing. And yet the message of Jesus that Christians believe is a message of hope. And in some ways, that it's not enough to just say death is the ultimate healing, is it? Surely it's more than just an end to suffering. Our hope is much more than just an ending. And going back to that conversation I had with the person last week about how they feel about dying, I'm sure their hope isn't rooted just in the end of their suffering, but they're looking forward to something beyond the grave. They're looking forward to new life. Christians believe that death is a gateway to our ultimate healing. It's not the end point. It's just a doorway we all have to walk through. This person I asked about death said that they draw great hope from a verse in the Bible. It's from one of the letters that Paul wrote, 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 2, verse 9. And this will come on the screens. And she said this: no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. We can't even begin to imagine what God has in store the other side of that door. The other side of the grave. We can't imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. So what does the Bible say about this place, this hope that we have? If you ask the average Christian, they're likely to talk about heaven. And heaven is a concept that is understood in different ways, both inside the church and outside the church. And a lot of the time, a lot of Christians haven't actually looked at what the Bible really says about heaven. But I just want to let you know about something. You can reserve your ticket to heaven at www.reserveaspotinheaven.com. do check it out. They say on their websites that we've never had any complaints. But if you happen to find yourself not in heaven, then you can have a full refund. I'm joking, but there really is a website that says that. But of course, that's not where we go to for our confidence in heaven. We go to the Bible as Christians. So, is heaven our ultimate healing? Interestingly, the Bible doesn't specifically talk about going to heaven when we die. If you've ever read scriptures about heaven, it does talk about heaven, but it doesn't talk about being the place we go when we die. Heaven is certainly the place where God reigns. The Bible talks about God being worshipped in heaven. If you've ever read through the last book in the Bible, there's a lot of that book deals with a description of heaven, a vision of heaven, and speaks about angels worshipping around a throne, Jesus Christ being described as a lamb on the throne. And the Bible sometimes talks about heaven using the word paradise. And if you've ever read the story of Jesus dying on the cross, you'll be familiar with the conversation he has with two thieves either side of him. The two others dying on a cross. And one of the thieves throws insults on Jesus, but the other thief asks for forgiveness and says, "Will you remember me when you enter into glory?" And Jesus says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." That thief had a hope of paradise. So is heaven our ultimate healing? Well, it's more than just the end of suffering that death provides, but we are with God. There's no suffering. We will experience the ecstasy of being in the presence of Jesus. We can be sure that people are fully healed in heaven. But I want to suggest it's not the final reality. The Bible doesn't just describe it as the end point. In some ways, it's a little bit like a service station on a journey. If you've ever been to the welcome break, it's a refreshment with Jesus before we arrive at the final reality. You know, that thief on the cross entered into paradise with Jesus. We believe that, but Jesus was in paradise for 3 days, and then we all know, hopefully, the story that Jesus rises back to life again. And he comes back in bodily form. Our being with God in heaven isn't the end of the story. It wasn't the end of the story for Jesus. And Christians have often settled for a reduced, incomplete story of our hope. So what is the end of the story? What's the bigger story that we are often missing and we often don't talk about? The end of the Bible describes the restoration of what God had originally intended in the beginning with the Garden of Eden. If you look right to the end of the Bible, feel free to do it whilst I'm talking if you want. There are Bibles dotted around. If you go to the last book and go to the last chapters in Revelation, you'll see a description of a restoration of what God had originally intended in the beginning. So we have in the beginning of the book of Genesis, God's picture of heaven and earth combined. Heaven and earth together in the Garden of Eden. And at the end of the story of Scripture, we have this amazing restoration. An incredible just transformed reality of heaven and earth together again. So I want to look at a verse together from the book of Philippians. And this is a description of life after life after death. Life after life after death. And it says this. This is from the Message version. If it's, so it's slightly different to the words in your Bible, but it's a paraphrase. It says this. There's far more to life for us. We're citizens of high heaven. We're waiting the arrival of the Saviour, the Master, Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like his own. He'll make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which he is putting everything as it should be under and around him. This is a picture of resurrection. It's not a picture of disembodied souls just sort of floating around on clouds in heaven. Some of us think that's what heaven's like. Lots of people out there, out in the world, think that's what heaven is. We're just little spirits floating around on clouds playing harps. And a lot of people think heaven's pretty boring. Sounds a little bit dull to me, that picture. And yet this one that we see described here talks of he'll make us beautiful and whole and have glorious bodies like his own, like Jesus' glorious resurrected body. And the Easter story of Jesus' resurrection is not just a story about Jesus and his resurrection, but it's about the resurrection of all of us who have believed in him. We're waiting the arrival of the Saviour, Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like his own. So there's debate around when exactly that happens, whether it happens right on the point of death. Do we get a new body straight away, or is there a period of waiting? There was obviously a period of waiting between the day Jesus died on the cross and the 3 days until he rose again. There's debate around about how what that looks like, what our experience of that is, but the fact is, the resurrection has already begun. The Bible talks about Christians belonging to a kingdom not of this world, but of a heavenly kingdom. And when Jesus came to earth, he said, the kingdom is near. There's so much here to unpack. There's so much I could say. And there's a risk of me going off topic. Because this is, when you get your head around this bigger story, this bigger hope that we have of a resurrection, there's so much that we could talk about. We could talk about the new creation, the way God will resurrect and renew and transform this whole earth. But I want to focus on our resurrected bodies. He'll make us beautiful and whole. That's why we can start to pray for healing right now. Because we can expect this kingdom of resurrection to begin here and now. We can start to see healing of sickness, physical and mental ill health, people becoming beautiful and whole. It's a message of hope that we don't have to wait till death. And yet, it's after death that we'll see the ultimate healing of our bodies. And when it doesn't happen now, it doesn't mean that God hasn't planned for it never to happen. If you're a born-again Christian, if you've trusted in Jesus, then you can expect a resurrection body one day. It will be beautiful and whole, glorious like Jesus' body. You know, it's not going to be boring either. It's not going to be boring. If you've ever read the story of Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis, The Chronicles of Narnia. There's a great film that's been made recently. Do watch it if you haven't, or read the story. But it describes four children who grow into adults, and they reign over Narnia as kings and queens. We've been called to be a royal priesthood. Now, this doesn't just stop when we die. We're called to be a royal priesthood here on earth, in this life, but we're called to be a royal priesthood for eternity. And that might be a phrase that you're not familiar with, but hopefully you're familiar with the term royal. We're called to be a royal people, reigning over a new creation. There'll be jobs for us to do. There'll be community. There'll be no pain, no suffering. The Bible speaks of an amazing, transformed reality. And we'll be helping to run God's world forever. It won't be dull. There'll be no hanging around on a cloud. We have an ultimate hope. We have an ultimate hope. I'm just going to finish with some verses from the end of the Bible. Just this is a little picture of that hope. And you probably can't read that very well. It's come out a bit smaller, so I'm going to read it to you. Please feel free to open your Bible and turn to Revelation chapter 21. Turn right to the end of the Bible. Revelation chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. And he will dwell with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new. I am making everything new." This is our hope. It's a resurrection hope. It's not just an end to suffering. It's not just life after death, without our bodies. But it's life after death, with a new glorious body made whole. Made beautiful, living on a renewed and transformed creation, heaven and earth together again. God himself will be with us, and we will be worshipping him for eternity, enjoying his presence, helping him reign over this wonderful creation. Now, it's a little tricky to work out how to apply this in your life. Some of us are, I know, going through immense suffering. Some of us know people who are close to us, who are facing death. And yet, I want to be like that person last week I spoke to, who said, "I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be amazing." I want us to recapture a bigger story, a bigger hope. And we have this amazing story to hold out to the world, to a world who is frightened of talking about death, who's frightened of what might be coming. I want to encourage you to have conversations in your families, in your networks, in your friendship groups. Start talking about death. Let's break this taboo. because it's not something to be feared. We have an amazing hope. There's an amazing future for each one of us who chooses to trust in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his death and his resurrection, giving us a future, giving us a hope. We thank you that whilst we may suffer now, we will experience an eternal future with glorious, beautiful, whole bodies. Lord, we thank you for that day that is coming when we will meet you face to face, when you will wipe every tear from our eyes, when we will experience that ultimate healing. Would you bring your peace into every heart today? If anyone is here feeling fearful, anxious, unsure of what the future holds, Lord, I pray that you would speak into their hearts today, sow that hope and that joy of your resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen.